As I said, we're in a series on the some Dr. Seuss books, and one might wonder how you get from 1 Samuel to Dr. Seuss, but I hope that in a few minutes you'll understand, right? The first thing I want to do is introduce my lovely wife. This is Roshen. Roshen is a K-2 counselor for the Penfield Schools, and I said earlier, earns her living reading books to small children, right? She reads kids' books for a living. Tough gig, huh?
That's all I do.
Yep. Yeah. No, I hear the stories. I know what else she does, and this is the only part of her job I could handle. But we're going to, Roshen's going to read to us as we work through this this morning's message, and I want to invite the kids that are present in worship to come up and sit down on or near the blanket or around the blanket and come so that you can hear the story, and Roshen will read straight to you as you come this morning.
Right. Find a comfy spot.
In the early service, there weren't very many young people with us. I had to invite the people who felt that they were kids or who were young at heart to come and sit with us. Yeah, there were three people up here older than me, if you can believe it. Right. All right. So you just heard, were you listening when I read the story about Samuel? Right. So Samuel was about 11 in this story. When Samuel was born, his mother, Hannah, promised God that if God would give her a son, she would dedicate him to God's service. So when Samuel was just a little boy, he went to live in the temple with Eli so he could learn to be a priest like Eli. You know what a priest is? A priest is like a minister. It's another name for a pastor, right? 11 seems pretty young to leave home, doesn't it? How many of you are more than 11? Who's 11? Yeah. Are you ready to move out on your own? No, I don't think so, right? 11 seems pretty young to leave home, but Hebrew boys left their families when they were quite young so they could learn from their rabbi or pastor to become pastors themselves. The training was very hard. Imagine this part of this. The boys who were training to become rabbis had to memorize the stories in the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Let me hold this for a second. All right, I'm going to show you what that is. All right, so if we open the Bible and we open to the end of Deuteronomy, it's this much. They had to memorize all of it, right? And they had to know it when they were asked for it. That seems a lot, right? But when they were 11, they started learning and they started memorizing, and they had to learn those books of the Bible as a part of their training. And it was kind of hard work, right? So this is the training that Samuel was taking when he heard God in Eli's house. Now, God spoke to Samuel, and he said Samuel's name. Can you imagine God speaking your name? Like,
I might be scared.
Yeah, it might be a little scary. But Samuel hears God calling him, and he didn't even know enough about God to know that it was God who was calling his name. Each time he heard God's voice, Samuel thought it was Eli who was calling him, his teacher. So when Samuel went to see Eli, who hadn't called him, sent him back to bed. Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Right. When this had happened a few times, Eli, who was, as I said earlier, a temple priest and someone who listened to God himself, he figured out that it was God who was calling Samuel. This morning, we are going to hear a story that is kind of like this. It is written by Dr. Seuss. His writings are not in the Bible. But I think Dr. Seuss read the Bible. We'll see what you think when we're done. Mrs. Parmley is going to read to you, "Oh, the Places You'll Go."
Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know, and you are the one who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go.
This story says that we have brains in our heads and feet in our shoes, and that means that we get to decide where we are going, what we are doing, and when we are doing it. When we're really little, our parents sort of make all the decisions for us, right? They tell us when to go to bed and when to get up and what we're having for lunch and all of that stuff. Your parents do all that stuff for you. We can't really go anywhere all by ourselves when we're really little. But even by the time we are 11 or 12, like Samuel is in this story, we get to start making choices about what we do and where we go and when we do things. Those choices can make a big difference in our lives. Some of the things that seem like small choices now can make a big difference later. Dr. Seuss says that if we use our brains to help us know where to go with our feet, we will not choose to go down any not-so-good streets. But listen to this. Just like Samuel, God wants us to listen to God and to get God's help making our choices. If we listen to God and we use our brains at the same time, God will help us make good choices. Now, as I said earlier, I've never heard God speak directly to me like Samuel did. But God has brought all kinds of people into my life who love me and love God. So sometimes I hear God speaking to me through them. Do you all have people in your life who love you and love God? Right. And do you sometimes hear good advice from them? Yes. My grandpa Bruce was one of those people. He's gone to be with Jesus now, but he gave me all kinds of great advice when I was a kid. And my mom, when I was growing up, she loves God and she helped me learn. And now my wife, sometimes it's her voice and sometimes it's the voice of God. I get to sort that out. Right? But just like Samuel, I have also had pastors and teachers who I have listened to when I had hard decisions to make. People who love God will help us hear from God by giving us advice and reminding us to pray and to listen for God ourselves. Good choices now turn into more good choices and more good opportunities later.
You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true, that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be left in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? Or right and three quarters? Or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind.
Sometimes, when we make good decisions, life goes along well. Just like Dr. Seuss says, you'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. We certainly increase the chances that things will go well when we listen to God and the people God brings into our lives who also love God and love us. We increase the chances that we will hear from God when we are seeking advice from others who are also listening to God. Samuel was hanging out with Eli in the tabernacle, and Eli helped Samuel realize that he was being called by God, and Eli's advice to Samuel was what? What did Eli tell Samuel to do? Go back, and when you hear the voice again, just listen, right? Just listen. And sometimes, even when we do our best to make good choices and to listen to the right kinds of advice, things don't go as we planned or as we think they might go. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly, it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. Dr. Seuss is saying that sometimes we can get into situations that we didn't plan for, and then we can get in a slump. Everybody gets into slumps, even if we are listening to God. Sometimes the decisions other people make can cause us trouble and to get into slumps, and sometimes the decisions we make can cause others some trouble, and they can get into slumps. That is how life works. That's what it means to walk with people in this life and to love people and to care for people. Sometimes we cause each other trouble. The good thing is that even when we are in a slump, God has promised to be there with us, to be there to help us find our way out. Listen to what Dr. Seuss says about these slumpy places.
You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space. Headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow. Or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting.
Just waiting. We will sometimes find ourselves between things in life. That space when we know one thing is ending, but the next thing either isn't clear to us or hasn't started yet. Dr. Seuss calls this place the waiting place. Waiting for a train to go or a bus to come or a plane to go or the mail to come. Sometimes when we are waiting to hear from God, the waiting can be frustrating. We all have to wait, but it isn't good to just wait. Just waiting is like waiting for a pizza to be delivered without first calling to order one. Or just waiting is is or waiting for someone to give you a job that you didn't apply for. Just waiting without doing anything is, well, just waiting. Dr. Seuss calls that a most useless place, the waiting place. Even when we are between things and we feel like God is asking us to wait, God has us waiting for a reason. In our waiting, we can pray and listen for God. We can read God's word and see what we hear in that. We can study the Bible with other people who are studying and some who are also waiting like us and see what God says through them. God does sometimes ask us to wait, but it isn't too often that God asks us to just wait. When we're not just waiting, God has things for us to do. Even in our waiting, God calls us to love other people and to care for them. That is the job that we have between jobs, the thing that we always have to do no matter what we are in between. With God, there is no just waiting, because there are always things we can do with and for others while we are waiting. We can volunteer at a soup kitchen. We can read to kids at schools, do yard work or shovel snow for people who can't do that for themselves. There are lots of things that we can do to help while we wait, and helping others helps our waiting not seem so slow or so long. We might even hear from God while we're doing things for others. Do you see how that can work? I mean, if you're volunteering at the soup kitchen with someone else who's volunteering at the soup kitchen and they're also waiting, maybe you can feel or sense God calling you to do something else while you're waiting. When we stop waiting, things begin to happen. And then before we know it, our waiting has changed into the next thing we are doing.
Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banners flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky. Ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't. Because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hackencracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are.
Dr. Seuss writes about the ways life goes up and down, starts and stops, is good until, well, it isn't, and then it's good again. I don't know anyone who has only had good things happen to them in their lives. Even the people who love God and live the way God would have them live. What I know about the hard times and the lonely times is that when we love God and we are sharing life with other people who love God, even when life feels scary and lonely, we are never really alone. God has promised to be with us always, to the end of the age, it says in the Bible. No matter what decisions we make or don't make, no matter whether we are doing or waiting or doing, God has promised to wait and to do with us. Sometimes that means we will hear from God, like Samuel, calling us to the next thing to do, or sometimes that means we will hear from others who are hearing from God, and they will help us find our way. This is why church is so important in our lives. The church is always there for us, to celebrate with us when things are going well and to walk with us when things are tough. God has asked us to be in church both to care for us and to have us there to care for other people in their up and down places. Sometimes we need the church to help us, and sometimes we are the church helping others. That is one way God cares for us. The church is full of people, some who need care and others who to do the caring, and we trade places on and off throughout the up and down places in our lives.
You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ollie Van Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way.
To be clear, we don't find Dr. Seuss in the Bible. But we do find some of the things in the Bible in Dr. Seuss's writing. The Bible helps us get through life, the kind of life that Dr. Seuss describes in his story. In the end of the book, Dr. Seuss says, "Kid, you'll move mountains." In the Bible, Jesus says exactly the same thing to his disciples. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, the disciples have been sent out by Jesus to help with Jesus' ministry. Jesus says to the 12, Go and do as I have done. Go and feed the hungry and give to the poor and heal the sick and go do the things that I have done. And they come back to Jesus after they've gone to do this work, disappointed, because they weren't able to do some of the things Jesus told them to do, some of the things that Jesus did himself, and they couldn't figure out why. They prayed for people like Jesus prayed for people. They tried to help people. They did some good things, but they had trouble with other things, and Jesus then tells them why. "You don't have enough faith," Jesus said to them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." I think Dr. Seuss got this idea about moving mountains from Jesus. What do you think? Yeah, Jesus was first, right? Jesus says that with even a little bit of faith, we will be able to do anything, even move mountains. Anybody move a mountain? Right, that's a great big job, right?
Not lately.
In fact, moving mountains is something that's called a metaphor or an exaggerated example to help us better understand or to help Jesus better make his point. With a little bit of faith, Jesus said, you'll even be able to move mountains, which means you could do anything. What Jesus is saying is that having enough faith, believing that God will help us to do all things, will help us do all the things we are asked to do. Maybe not the first time, and maybe not all by ourselves, but with enough faith, God will help us accomplish all that God wants us to do. Do you believe that? If you have enough faith in God, you can do all the things that God asks us to do. That's the truth. It takes faith to listen for and to hear from God. It takes faith to make good choices. It takes faith to reach our potential in good times and to help find our way out of confusing and hard times. It takes faith to keep listening for God while we are waiting and to be doing and waiting all at the same time. It takes faith to know that we are not alone, even when we are feeling most lonely. It takes faith to face up to our problems, whatever they are. It takes faith to move mountains, and sometimes that thing that God calls us to do next can seem like a mountain to move. When we have faith in God, we are reminded that God always has faith in us too. Do you believe that? That when we have faith in God, God always has faith in us too? That's the truth. It's the truth. I see you doing, I don't know. It's the truth. Trust me. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we ask only for enough faith. Enough faith to listen, to hear your voice, to see the next mountain to which you have called us, and to know that with your help we can move it. We thank you for the people in our lives that you have called to be there to help give us good advice. And we thank you, Lord, for the ways that you have given us experiences that will help others. Thank you for your church and for your presence with us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, don't run off because we got something for you. We figured that if you heard that story, you might want to keep that story so you could either read it for yourself later again or read it to other people when they needed to hear that story as you do your part in helping others for God. So we want each of you to have a copy of this book.